Hey guys, I'm Brenna O'Malley. I'm a registered dietitian and creator of The Wellful, and you're listening to The Wellful Podcast, the show where we're featuring exciting and inspiring conversations with the people behind the brands that are changing the food and wellness landscape. Whether they're creating their own food company, bringing in-person connection to an online world, or building the best gym in Bermuda, these entrepreneurs and innovators are sharing their story of how they got to where they are and where they're going next. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's The Wellful Women in Wellness podcast. I'm so excited for this episode because today we're chatting with Nikisha Davis, who is the founder and creator of Early Bird Foods & Co. They're best known for their signature granola that is made with olive oil, salt, and love. You've probably seen it if you're anywhere in New York or the tri-state area. It's basically sold everywhere and it's so delicious. And Nikisha talks about how she went from managing a famous pizzeria in Brooklyn, Franny's, to owning her own granola company and what that transition was like, growing her brand in New York City. And also we talk about the bigger message and mission that Nikisha really wants and promotes behind Early Bird Foods. So we have a really unique conversation covering things like food marketing, like body positivity, and learning to really listen to what works best for you and bringing the pleasure back to food and eating. So I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. I really think that you'll like it. And remember to subscribe so that you can get each week's episode straight to your phone so you don't need to think about it. But I'm going to pass it over to the episode now. So this is Nikisha from Early Bird Foods. So to start out, I'd love to talk about if you want to introduce yourself a little bit and Early Bird Foods.
Sure. My name is Nikisha Davis. I'm the founder and owner of Early Bird Foods. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary 2 weeks ago. And basically what I do is run this granola company. Whatever role needs to be played, I play the role.
Yeah. And so you guys, that's awesome. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're based in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. right?
We're based in Brooklyn. We're in Red Hook.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how you came to create the granola?
Sure. Well, let's just say that I kind of stumbled upon being in food when I moved to New York because it's all I'd ever done. I'd waited tables in college like everybody does, and I just kind of found my way. I didn't study food in college, but I was working at Franny's,
okay.
This lovely pizzeria, which was so much beyond a pizzeria, that was inspired by Alice Waters. It was a restaurant in Brooklyn for, I think, 14 years, and it closed a couple years ago. And that's really where I learned about food, in addition to working at Gramercy Tavern for a few years. And I also just started kind of experimenting with making all of my own cleaning products. And I love making things.
Oh,
I was
cool.
Very hands-on. I want to learn. I was like really, really thirsty for knowledge. And I had actually never made granola before. And I had a friend one day say, I can't believe you don't make your own granola. It's so easy and it's so much better than anything you can buy in the store. So before I went to the store, I went to Google and Googled.
As we all do.
How do you make granola? Because I needed to get the basic ratio of, you know, nuts to oils to fat to whatever. And then I went to the store and got what I wanted to go into granola. And I came home, I made it. And that is what came out of the oven that day is our number one seller to this day.
Really?
Unaltered.
So which one is your number one seller?
It's the Farmhand's Choice.
Okay.
It's the flavor with
one.
Pecans, which was inspired by my great-grandmother. I'm from Texas, and she used to have pecan trees in the backyard, and we would just, like, run out there and gather them and crack them at the table and just eat them raw all through my childhood. So it really, really was inspired by Texas and family and kind of that connection with food. And that's the best seller, but I didn't make granola before that day.
Yeah.
And I took it into Franny's because, you know, like, if you make cookies at home and you mm-hmm. take them into work because you're like, well, I don't need to have 3 dozen cookies at home.
Yeah, right.
And I just took it into work, and everyone just lost their minds. And it was just this kind of steamroller beginning of the company. I didn't intend on starting a company. I didn't intend on doing really much of what I've done over the last 10 years. I've been kind of just going with the flow. But you mentioned Martha Stewart, mm-hmm. and what happened really was that when I did come up with this product that there was a huge demand for, my time in New York over the last 8 years or so and all the contacts that I've made kind of built this perfect platform for which to kind of launch early bird. Like Robin from New York Magazine mm-hmm. were regulars at Franny's, and I knew them and they loved the product.
Oh, awesome.
Melissa Clark was a regular at Franny's. She loved early bird and used to buy it before it was even in a bag. I knew someone that worked on the Martha Stewart show. I knew someone that was opening up the Brooklyn Flea, which was the flea market way back in the early days when there were like 10 booths there. Mm-hmm. So everything came together and like I got all these amazing articles and I went on Martha Stewart and we made granola together even before I was in a store.
Wow. Yeah.
So it all really, really like this platform of kind of Brooklyn food community really lifted up and raised me to start at this really incredible place. You know, Whole Foods was one of my first accounts.
No way.
The first, the Bowery and the Tribeca locations, along with Murray's Cheese and the Brooklyn Larder, which was owned by the owners of Franny's. So,
yeah.
I mean, you wonder why in the world you just keep trudging through and meeting all these people, and then something like this happens, and you're like, oh, that's why I have all these people in my community, because they're all here to support me in this thing that kind of unfolded unexpectedly.
That's so cool. Yeah, and what a, like, great way to, like, know. I feel like things like getting into Whole Foods is such a bar. Not like a make-or-break thing necessarily, but it kind of feels like that from, like, a startup food or any food
like,
company.
How in the world do you get into Whole Foods when you start a food company?
Right.
Well, in my case, you know someone who knows the buyer at Whole Foods mm-hmm. because of Franny's, because of Gramercy Tavern, because of all of the, you know, the people that were in that community. Early Bird would be nothing without that community.
Yeah.
It would be like I'm kind of the heart and the soul of the company, but it was really built kind of with the help of everyone around me.
Yeah. What a great like way to kind of evolve and like change into, or like have all of the stars like align almost too.
They do that sometimes.
Yeah. And you were saying that you feel like before we got on, you were saying a little bit that you feel like your purpose or kind of behind the brand or what you want Early Bird to be or stand for, kind of your mission has evolved with that also.
Mm-hmm. It has. And, you know, when I started the company, I didn't really have a mission because I didn't really do it with a whole lot of, like, I don't want to say mindfulness, that's not the right word, but there wasn't a lot of intention behind mm-hmm. it. It was like, it really, really felt like a ride that I was on that mm-hmm. I was like, let's see what happens with this thing. And if it crashes and burns, I'll just go back to working in restaurants because that's what I always did. It didn't seem like a whole lot of risk to me. But there wasn't like a purpose. There was just a really delicious product and connecting with people, which is what I always did because I was in hospitality and that's mm-hmm. what I do. I make really good food and I love connecting with people and I know how to take care of people thanks to Danny Meyer. But there wasn't really a message. And I think for a lot of years in the middle there, I really struggled with, like, why are we? You know, I knew what we did. I knew that we made this delicious product that all these people wanted. But I don't know. I really wanted to have a why are we in this marketplace? Like, why do we matter? And I think that really has grown a lot in the last couple of years with my own kind of like picking a part of my own relationship with my body and my relationship with food and kind of debunking all of these thoughts and ideas I've had about myself my entire life about who I was, who I should be, you know, all of the work that, all the emotional work that we do. And I don't know, I just recently have really been connecting with the idea that this life is about pleasure, food is about pleasure. Mm-hmm. People, I hope, we'll just forget about all the restrictions and the guilt and the everything associated with food and just eat what you want. Your body knows more than you think it does.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Early Bird can kind of hop on that train that I think hopefully is kind of coming through, that's what I want the message to be. You know, it's not about restriction. Like, we're not here. I think there's that Caroline Dooner has that podcast. And she's like, you know, I don't know if she said it or someone else said it, but you know, you're not alive to pay bills and lose weight.
Yes.
Like, that is not why we're here. We're mm-hmm. here to, you know, experience pleasure. And I try to think of, I try to think of how I was when I was five. The ways in which I saw the world, the ways in which I ate, the ways in which I moved my body, the things that I wanted to do. I think embodying that now is really, the key.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like I talk about, I sometimes like do these like grocery store tours where I'll go through and talk about like the marketing on certain packages. And I feel like you're saying exactly like we're kind of on the same page, but sometimes it'll be like guilt-free or appetite suppressant or all of these different like things, which I'm like, these are serving no purpose. There's really no basis for any of that. Mm-hmm. And like, wouldn't it be so cool if this just said, this is a really delicious, like, piece of something. Yeah. Right. And I feel like that's like, I feel like there's kind of this disconnect sometimes between like the quote unquote like health wellness world and then food, which
absolutely
right. But
it's like telling a little girl you can be whatever you want. If you hadn't said that, she never would have thought that she, you know, she never would have thought that there were any limitations.
Right.
So in saying that it's guilt free, you're automatically instilling this idea of the fact that there is guilt related with food.
Right.
And so many of us operate that way. I was just at Via Carota the other day having dinner, and this woman next to me had a bowl of pasta and broccoli. And when the pasta got taken away and the plate was cleaned and the broccoli plate was like half full, like I heard her going through her own guilt and being like, well, you know, I allow myself pasta once a week, so I had to eat all the pasta, but I'm going to bring the broccoli home because I ate broccoli earlier today. And I was just like, God, the space in our brains that are taken up with worrying about this and that and how much of that. And, you know, the end of the counting calorie line came for me at 9 months ago when I was sitting on the couch Googling how many calories are in a strawberry. And I was like, okay, this is officially turned into an, like, I am an insane person.
Yeah.
No more. I'm like breaking the chains. My body knows what to do. I'm going to eat and live and love and move my body. And like, that's it.
Yeah.
And the freedom that's come with that has been incredible. Like, my brain is used for other things now.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen, and I've like made like this diagram before too, of kind of like how much of your brain space, like if you were to think of like a pie chart or something, do we spend like thinking about food and not just in a, oh, that's a really delicious meal, but kind of like all of these different like calculations that we try and boil it down to like the gram or the calorie or.
It's like A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
You know, that movie where we're like, you know, well, I had this for lunch and I had this for dinner, so I should have this. I shouldn't have this. And like, I know that everyone thinks if they don't worry about what they eat and the caloric intake and all that stuff, that they're all going to gain a bunch of weight. It's just not true, and it's probably the opposite. And honestly, you're going to kind of stop caring.
Yeah.
It's about the, like, I don't know. There's so much freedom in eating whatever you want, whenever you want, listening to your body. And my, like, I think I had body dysmorphia before because my body actually looks differently to me in the mirror now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like, such a real, like, obviously, but it's just such a real shift in how we think about, like, food and our bodies and everything, and then how we perceive it also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, if I can, you know, and early bird's kind of in a lot of transition right now. We're really at a place where we're trying to grow and, I don't know, just kind of figure out what our platform is going to be, who we want to reach, what we want to say, and body positivity and trusting your body and, you know, not having limitations on food is going to be a really big part of it. And it's, I think the first time that I've been really excited about sharing a message with people.
That's awesome.
And before I was excited about sharing delicious food with people, but this seems so much more important.
Right. And now it's kind of both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so, and I feel like there's a lot of pressure. We like briefly talked about this with any kind of food product, and for it to have this like a component of health or something. And like, even on your Martha Stewart clip, kind of, I feel like there were comments, and I know that's years old now, but of kind of questions of people being like, is this like a healthy product or is this whatever? So how have you started to or kind of navigated that conversation of kind of bringing it back to the pleasure that this is a really delicious
food? I think it helps. I think the fact that we make early bird with actual real food is an important, you know, we already have that on our side.
Yeah.
And I think another thing, you know, when I first made the, when I first was making granola and I was looking up granola recipes, everybody used canola oil. It was in every single recipe, nothing against canola oil, but I happened to have olive oil in my kitchen because it's, it at that time was the only oil that I used. And now So many granolas use olive oil.
Really?
On the shelf.
But that was really kind of like a defining thing for you.
It was very much a defining thing. Like, yeah. not only in my opinion is, which I'm not the dietitian here, so in my brain, I would rather put olive oil into my body than canola.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just really gives the granola this like savory undertone, which is the perfect balance with the saltiness, because our granola is salty.
Right.
It's like sweet and salty.
It's like my favorite combination.
It's the best. It's the best. And a lot of people like really leave that element out. It's like mm-hmm. we make early bird the same way that you would season a bowl of pasta. Like all of those spaces in your mouth want to get hit. I want to hit the like savory. I want to hit the sweet. I want to hit the salty. I want to hit the like nutty. I want it to like be a moment where you eat that product and you stop thinking about everything else, and all you're thinking about is, wow, this experience right now is really amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a stop you in your tracks thing.
Yeah.
And food should be that. All the food that we eat should be that, in my opinion. And a lot of it isn't. So, yeah, olive oil was, I forgot where we started this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the health element with Martha Stewart.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be in trying to educate people that, like, nothing is, it's, I know that it's hard, it's really hard for me to talk about this because I'm not a dietitian, and I don't want to say that nothing is unhealthy.
Yeah.
But I really want to preach, like, don't limit things, don't restrict things out of your diet. Mm-hmm. And in that way, like, everything has its place.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that you should eat 8 bags of early bird a day. But you could eat a little early bird every day and still maintain a really healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about the balance of all of it. And it's all about listening to your body and what it needs and kind of developing that relationship. And I don't know. I think you can have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And be like in a really good place and a lot happier.
Right. And I feel like especially when you're like allowing yourself to choose and like have the freedom to have everything, and then you can choose what you actually want, but just without that restriction or kind of.
Oh yeah. I eat way less ice cream now that I can eat as much as I want mm-hmm. than before, when I like had all of these weird limitations on how much ice cream I could eat.
Right.
I eat it when I want it. Yeah. It's like, it was an urge I had, and mm-hmm. I had a little ice cream and then it's done. There was no like guilt surrounding it.
Right.
I just ate the ice cream, like end of story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll tell you, I have to buy it way less now. My freezer.
Like, yeah.
The ice cream stays in the freezer for a long time now.
Yeah.
It's just this weird psychological thing where if you can have whatever you want, you really eat what you actually want.
Right. Right. So,
it seems simple, but it's really revolutionary to
yeah.
to my brain and my body. We're like real psyched about the freedom that it's giving us.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I feel like it's such a interesting place. Like, I love that, like, you are who is behind this brand. And I feel like I always think about how we end up marketing things to people, because I think like the messages that we get as consumers that all of us are receiving, and I think all of us end up getting these kind of disordered messages about food from different food marketing and different kinds of things. And I think normally well-intentioned, I should also say, because I don't think anyone's really intending to harm people. But I think it's interesting when you can kind of realize that your product is delicious and you're like obviously very thoughtful about the ingredients that are going into it, and like that is one enough for someone to buy something, but then also to kind of have this additional message of like, and you should eat it because it tastes good, not because of all of these other kind of arbitrary rules that someone else might be putting onto packaging of, you know, I mm-hmm. feel like sometimes food marketing can almost get like prescriptive of like, like, I talk about Halo Top all the time because it's like, eat till the bottom, or like, don't worry, we won't tell anyone, or whatever their mm-hmm. kinds of things are. But that almost becomes like a direction of like, you can, like, you have, we're giving you permission, this arbitrary permission. So, mm-hmm. like, you should eat it versus like, this is really delicious. Like, eat it when you want it. And then it's how much of a different relationship does someone even have with like your brand then than something else that makes them feel bad? You know, it's kind of a cool.
I mean, it's interesting. I think it really depends on the relationship that people have with food and their body. But mm-hmm. everybody has a really complicated relationship with food.
Yeah.
I'm noticing. And it's like, you know, the further along I get in my own journey with my own body and food, like the more you kind of hear the more you hear other people's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're kind of like trying to, when you're trying to release a lot of your own stuff,
yeah,
you hear the noise of everybody else's so much more. And everybody has this struggle. And I think it's, for me, it comes down to, am I going to have a company that comes from a place of abundance or mm-hmm. a place of scarcity? Like, are we yeah. going to have, are we going to like throw love out there? Or are we going to put fear out there? And that's how I try to live my life. Like, there's enough of everything for everybody. There is enough, like, you are enough. You can eat what you want. Like, you are whole. You are lovely. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to tell people, I don't want to put a limitation on a package, like, from the get-go. Like, that's just not yeah. my message. I'm, you know, I'm, like, on this planet to, like, love and live and experience pleasure and just have fun.
Yeah.
And if that comes through in the branding and the marketing of Early Bird, then, like, I have done what I'm intending to do.
Yeah.
But, and it's really genuine. I know a lot of people, I know that word love. I remember in a Mad Men episode where he was like, this word love is like so overused and it was so eye-rolly, you know, late 60s. But it really comes from a genuine place for me. Like, yeah. I really want to let people know that I care about my connection with them. I care about the product that we're making. I care about the message. I want people to be happy. I want them to enjoy. I want them to experience pleasure. Like, that's just what it's all about.
Yeah.
I hope it comes through.
I think
I'm trying hard.
But yeah, no. I mean, I think that's also not something you're normally hearing behind, or often, or maybe often enough, I should say, behind a food, like, behind a brand, really, even. So I feel like
everyone's
really
trying to figure out how to, I don't know, everyone's, like, trying to figure out how to give people permission to indulge in their product. And I'm like, you don't need permission. Period. Like,
yeah.
Do what you want. Eat Early Bird. Don't eat Early Bird. Like, more power to you. But, like, do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do what I'm telling you to do.
Right.
I mean, that's what marketers usually do. But, and the best ones, we don't know that they're doing that. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's just not restrict this life. Let's, like, have fun.
Yeah.
It's a long one, but it's a short one, you know.
So what do you feel like is, like, next for Early Bird? You guys started out with your granola, and now you have your bars also.
We have granola bars. You know, in running a small business come lots and lots of challenges. So in the last couple of years, we've really, really been in, like, an incredibly difficult period. Like, it's probably been one of the hardest couple of years of my life. It just kind of comes with, like, I don't know. I think it comes with territory. Small batch life is, like, a very interesting and unusual life to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't for the faint of heart. So in that couple of years, you know, we've been having a hard time keeping up with production. We've been having a hard time keeping up with online orders. And we're kind of coming into a place where we're fixing some of the problems that we had, and now we're really ready to grow. And what I am really interested in doing is, like, trying to reconnect with everybody that we kind of disappointed over those last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And just let them know, like, we're here. This is our message. We're here for you. And, like, that reconnect and that, like, personal reconnect. Like, I'll call people on the phone.
Yeah.
I'll call, like, personal people that order granola online on the phone and apologize if their order's late. Like, so that's a really different way that we do business, and I'm really interested in kind of reconnecting with everyone and just being like, hey, that was really tough, but we're here, like, our head is still above water.
Yeah.
As far as new products, I don't know, but I'm really interested in connecting with people. I'm really interested in, like, figuring out a way to, like, not only assure everybody that we're still here and we're, like, pushing forward and we're a really strong and resilient company that's been through a lot of hard knocks now.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of, you know, like, reach out and stretch a little bit more in the Northeast and, like, maybe reach down to DC and, like, a little bit more up to Vermont and just get more people kind of on this brand that I think is really, really special and has just incredible customer loyalty. Like, we must be doing something right.
Right.
If we have this following, you know, we've never done any real sales or marketing, and we have just an incredible amount of people that really, really love us. even through the tough times. Like, people are still here.
Right. And that's such a testament to you, to, like, because
I agree.
Yeah, because that's hard. It's hard to, like,
to disappoint people, yeah.
Or it's hard to have people who stick with you. I feel like a lot of the times, like, almost everything now is kind of, like, instant gratification, and then you're on to the next thing, or you're just kind of constantly, like, the startup food world is incredibly competitive, and there's so many new brands and different things to try, so I feel like that's such a testament.
We must be doing something right, because people are really sticking with us. You know, like I said, even in the hard times, I mean, over this last month, like, some of our online orders were like 3 weeks before people got them. Mm-hmm. And man, I just, what I do is I open up that email and I rip open my heart and I put it right in there. And I try to connect with them as a human, and I try to make them understand how hard we're working, how much we care about them, and the, you know, the struggles that we're in. And it's incredible how they respond. Yeah. 'Cause that's what people want. They want a connection. They don't want some, like, Autobot response. It's like, we're really sorry, your order is delayed.
Yeah,
like,
right. Or nothing at all.
Or nothing at all. Yeah. So I think that's probably why people stick with this, is because I was taught how to take care of people through my time with Danny Meyer and Gramercy Tavern. And that just, I mean, that formed me as a human. And it's just how I operate.
Yeah.
It's about the people first.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. But I'm really grateful for everybody so much.
Yeah. And I feel like your mission and, like, what's behind, because it's like you're supporting the brand, but you're also supporting, you know, something that's, like, making you feel good and making other people feel good as well. Like, in addition to, like, sharing, I feel like food is something that, like, people can bond over and, like, experience together and share memories. And then
it's like the best thing in life.
Yes.
Food. You're right. Let's have lots of it all the time. It's so fun and delicious. And if you can find a product, I mean, I think, like, Early Bird, that's so good. It's so good. Like, we had to take the bars off of, like, the menu, if you will, a couple of years ago while we tried to formulate them and figure out how to make them. And the emails that I got from people were like, why have you forsaken me? Like, it was so crazy. There was an article in the Park Slope Food Co-op, like, Line Waiters Gazette.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know if you know about the co-op, but anyone can get on the PA system.
Oh, I didn't
say anything because everyone is a member.
Yeah.
And there was someone that got on the PA system when we were having a really hard time keeping up with bar production that said, the lack of Early Bird granola bars is actually ruining my life. Like, these people love this granola.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, man. I love it. It, like, tickles me pink that they do. We're going to try to keep making it and keep growing and doing our best to stay connected with everybody and spread the message of, like, I don't know, food is pleasure. Life is pleasure. Worry about less. You know, eat what you want.
Yeah.
Live. There's too many other things to worry about.
Yes. The name Early Bird, where did that come from?
Well, our first round of branding was actually done by a company called The Rooster Group, and it's now closed, but Fernando Music was one of the owners, and he's Carla Lolly Music's husband, who is the food editor at Bon Appetit.
Oh, wow.
And she's a friend, and, like, I'm so obsessed with her and her style of cooking and everything, but they were doing the branding, and I really wanted to it to be kind of reminiscent of, like, an old Fruit Crate label.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And the very first branding that the Rooster Group did looked very, very much like that. And we've kind of continued to update it over the years. But I really was, like, thumbing through the internet at old Fruit Crate label pictures. And I found one with a blue bird. And it said Early Bird. And I had, like, been looking through the dictionary and the thesaurus for, like, 2 weeks, like, combing through for a name.
Mm-hmm.
And Early Bird just clicked. And it was what it was, and the bird on the package was almost going to be a pigeon, you know, because of New York.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I quickly found out that everyone thinks that pigeons are really dirty, even though I think they're really beautiful and have such great iridescent colored wings and all that.
Yeah.
So it turned into Early Bird with a hand-painted red-bellied robin underneath, so I think it was probably best.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But yeah, just, you know, an old Fruit Crate label, that great old artwork from when stuff was transported by trains.
Yeah, no, I love that. In addition to this, kind of with your experience, if you guys have been 10 years is awesome. And
I can't believe it. It seems like it was another life.
Yeah.
It's just insane. No, but yeah, 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so kind of looking back, we talked about this a little bit before, but what would you say to like your like 10 years ago self, maybe about... Doesn't have to be as corny as that, but even like
no,
kind of,
I don't mean it's corny. I mean, I wish I could tell her so many things. What would I tell my 31-year-old self? Mm-hmm. I would tell her to get someone to do the books.
That's like some real advice. Yeah.
Like, if you were opening up a company and you're a creative type that has mm-hmm. all of the skills of like connecting with people and creating great branding and creating a great product, that is all well and good. But like, you need someone to be the financial head of your business. And we have run into so many issues with me being like pretty good with money, but like not great with money. Like, get someone who knows the numbers and like, let them run that. Let them tell you what you can spend and what you can't spend. And you focus on the stuff that you can. There's this like idea in the small batch world, like you should have to do everything. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's not good at everything. So I would say do the things that you're good at, and the stuff you're not good at, get help.
Yeah.
And like, leave the ego at the door. You need help.
Yeah. I think that is the best piece of advice for literally anything that mm-hmm. you're doing.
Yeah. Because you'll do those things not well. Mm-hmm. And they'll cause problems.
Right. And then you can't do the things you're really good at as well, because you're kind of over mm-hmm. extended. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I also would tell her, like, just get ready. Like, get ready. I had no idea what I was in for.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course I wouldn't go back, but there about 5 years into the business, I was like, I don't know if I would have done this if I would have known this is what it would be like. I really, really went in blind. And I think you kind of have to. It's almost like having kids or something, which I don't have any.
Yeah.
But it's like, you got to kind of go in blind, because I think maybe if you knew how hard it was, you'd be like, I don't know about that. Maybe that was a bad example. I'm sure everyone that has kids is like, no, we'd have 10 more. but yeah, get ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you ever kind of imagine, like when you were first doing those like first batches or like deciding to go full time mm-hmm. into Early Bird, did you kind of imagine that this would be like a longer term thing, or kind of?
I mean, listen, I'm like very optimistic and hopeful sometimes to a fault. Mm-hmm. And I also, on my best days, think that I can do anything. So I think that I thought, not in any kind of egotistical way, I just really think that I can do anything. You can do anyone can do anything.
Right.
I think that there was definitely a feeling that it was something special. And it was probably within about 6 months that I had to quit my job managing a restaurant to do this.
Right.
I think I always kind of thought it would be something big. And, I don't know. I've always really, really known that I had something special, and I've always really, really known that I could do something great with it. I don't know. Even in the hard times, like, that's why I've kept pushing through. Because, like, I believe in this product. I believe in this brand. I think there's something really special that could eventually, you know, reach, like, so many people. And I've fallen on my face so many times, just over and over and over and over again. And I just keep getting up and, like, one foot in front of the other. I think I always kind of thought it would be something big.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a special company. It really is. I believe that. I'm proud of it.
So how do you see both your brand and like the food space? We talked a little about like the food and wellness space and kind of mm-hmm. how they intermingle, but what do you see as like health and wellness meaning to you as like a person and a brand? And then also how you see the food space kind of in general changing and evolving in the future?
How do I see the health and wellness with my brand? I mean, health and wellness to me is mostly about unlearning everything that we've learned about health and wellness. mm-hmm. I think that we are, I mean, at least how I try to approach it is just really it's about that connection with my body. Like, does my body want to move? Is my body hungry? Does my body want greens? And I think that we kind of fit into that in everyone's life in kind of a different way. I really think health and wellness is about listening to your body. And I think that early bird fits into that in any way, just like anything fits into that. Like, yeah. In trying to live in a way of not restricting any kind of food, like everything fits in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wellness is like, to me, wellness is, taking care of your body, like moving it around, getting enough sleep, meditating. I meditate every day, hydrating, eating some greens, and then eating a bunch of other stuff that you want. Like, I definitely have my rituals, my like morning rituals and my night rituals. And I don't know, I actually don't eat very much early bird. I really should eat more early bird. You know, I think it's really great because I don't eat very much early bird, and then when I start eating it again, I'm always surprised. I'm like shocked, like, holy shit, this is so delicious. Like, I forget, and then I'm reminded about how good my own brand is.
That's pretty like fun way to go about it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not about like I'm not into the like punishing or like taking things away from people, but I guess I just kind of forget. Like, I eat granola a little bit, but I don't eat it every day.
Well, I mean, you're also surrounded
by surrounded by it all the time. And I'm, like, tasting it and making sure it's perfect, making sure it's consistent. So I guess I actually probably eat it a lot. And then, I don't know, the health and wellness world, like, man, did the whole, like, Gwyneth Paltrow do, like, a flip end on things. It's almost, and honestly, I have a couple of friends that are in that world, so I want to like fully respect everybody's journey. Mm-hmm. It's not for me.
Yeah.
It like doesn't resonate with me. It's incredibly restrictive to me.
Yes.
And that's not the way that I like to operate in my life in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like exercise, like I'm like a curvy girl, and I always kind of have been, and I move my body around and I get my heart pumping, but like, I'm not at the gym 5 days a week because I don't really want to be.
Yeah.
I want to kind of approach life like that, and I approach everything like that. Like, what do I want to do? Like, I think that there are different types of people, and I don't know. I'm not one for like living a super restricted life. So most of the health and wellness world doesn't resonate with me right now. And I think it's like, It worries me a little bit that people are taking it as like truth and fact, and like a one size fits all thing.
Right.
And I think, at least for me, and what like the whole body positivity movement and the health at every size movement is showing me, is that, you know, there are a lot of different body types and a lot of different body sizes and a lot of different needs for different people. And you know, you can also make a choice as to what type of body you want. My body could probably look, I don't know, six different ways depending on like what I, in this life, in this spirit, in this body, like prioritized.
Mm-hmm.
This particular life for me is like about real chill pleasure and fun and everything. So like, I'm someone that cooks and eats and walks and like vacations and is curvy and happy. And like, I've got a Buddha belly and I love it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I try to like really embody that as like part of the sexiness of me and like the sensuality of life and like all of that stuff. But maybe some other iteration of me would run six times a day and look differently and eat differently. But I don't know. I think everybody's got a little bit of a different spirit, and mine doesn't resonate with the current wellness trends.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a lot of problems in the current way that we talk about even the word, like, do you know Christy Harrison?
No.
So she has a podcast called Food Psych, but she talks a lot about the wellness diet, which is kind of what you're alluding to, or what a lot of us associate with it. It's kind of like this unattainable, really restrictive, like all of these different qualifications to like be quote unquote well, and just how that's really problematic.
I like to call it the nuts, twigs, and berries diet.
yeah. And like, and I think, so I hope that there's, in like the food and beverage world, I think there's been like a shift to kind of taking a lot of these claims that we've talked about, like guilt-free and all these different kind of labels that are not helpful. But I also hope that there's just as much of a kind of push in like getting back to like food that tastes really good and that you can enjoy and that you can have without all of these different qualifications and like different labels on them as well.
The like everything that the whole like wellness, like I don't know, the like the moon juice and all that stuff, like all of that stuff is really interesting scientifically. And it's like, I mean, I don't mean scientifically with the body, but like they are creating a lot of really interesting food.
Mm-hmm.
But the only eating that type of food is where I think the problem comes. It's also an incredibly expensive way to live. And it's really, really unattainable for most people.
Yes.
And it's just like, you got to try to spread a message that like everybody can hear.
Yeah.
And that message makes anyone that can't afford to live that lifestyle probably feel really shitty about themselves.
Right.
And that's not cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I say that being a product that's on the shelf at kind of a higher price.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that somehow we still manage to kind of appeal to everybody. Like,
yeah.
I have a friend who's got a friend who's like 22 and buys one bag every month, and that one bag he like just savors every bit, and it's like a real like beautiful pleasure that he gives himself. It's like a treat.
Right.
And then I have other people that are like really wealthy that buy cases and cases at a time because their pantry's stocked. And like, I don't know, that's kind of how life is. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you can afford to go to dinner once a month, and sometimes you go to dinner every night. It's like, but the message appeals to everybody. Like, we're not excluding anybody. We're not telling anybody that they're wrong. We're not telling anyone that there's something wrong with them and that this will fix you.
Yeah.
Like, you're great, and also we have a delicious product for you to enjoy. So, like, that's all positive, and that's the way that I wish everybody would approach food and wellness and everything. That was an incredibly long answer to what you asked me. But
I love that. No, I think that's a perfect ending to that. So I have a couple quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of pivoting a little bit.
Okay.
But your favorite type of nut butter, and would it be crunchy or smooth?
I mean, what
are you a nut
butter
person?
It's like, listen, what? Peanut butter. Like, I'm down with almonds, but like peanut butter classic, that's what I was raised on, and smooth. I was raised on Peter Pan creamy, which I don't eat anymore, but I definitely get the like closest version to that.
Yeah.
I don't want oil separating on the top. Like, give me the emulsified peanut butter, please.
Yes.
And
yes.
Smooth.
Are you a coffee or a matcha person or tea? Or
you know, I've got matcha in my kitchen always, but coffee all the way. I mean, I'm a big mint tea drinker. I drink that all day long. But if I had to pick one, like desert island style, give me coffee all the way.
Definitely. Do you have a favorite place in New York or like a favorite roastery or anything?
Favorite roaster?
Yeah.
You know, I really love Counterculture.
Okay.
They're probably my favorite roaster. We used to work with them at Franny's, and they would come and teach us how to make like proper cappuccino.
Oh.
And I think their coffees are really super delicious. And my coffee shop over on Atlantic called Swallow Cafe that I go to has Counterculture in there. My absolute favorite.
Yeah, I love that. Favorite, you said you have like morning or like routines, rituals. So what's your favorite part of your day?
My favorite part of my day, I mean, I would say probably, you know, when I started this company, I was not an early bird, and now I'm totally an early bird.
You've totally embodied it.
I wake up really early. Before the time change, I woke up before the sun came up. But I wake up really early, and I really like waking up but not getting up.
Mm-hmm.
I try, really, really try hard not to touch my phone for an hour after I wake up. I usually make a mint tea while the coffee brews. I meditate for 15 minutes. And then I don't touch email for probably another hour into my workday. That has really, really changed my entire morning. And I like snuggle with my dog and my cat, and I like take her outside on a walk. But yeah, it's about the like really limiting my brain, jumping to all the things that other people want me to do,
mm-hmm.
and choosing to do the things that I want to do.
Yeah.
So that's been a real game changer for me.
I love that. That's something I need to work on. It's not like checking your phone right away.
Someone told me, I think it's one of like Oprah's coaches said, your inbox is a to-do list of someone else's.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, if you want to start your day with, you know, if you want to start your day intentioned mm-hmm. for yourself, you know, don't open up your inbox because then you're doing what everybody else needs. So like sit down and spend an hour of your day doing what you need to do, like make your goals for the day. What do I want to accomplish? And then, you know, the email stuff can kind of like be peppered into what you accomplished, but otherwise you're being just pulled in a million different directions.
Yeah.
It's really changed my world a lot.
Yeah.
The email thing.
Definitely. What is something you're obsessed with right now? Like either like a new product or a phrase or like anything kind of oddly specific or that you're really loving?
God, there's so many things. I love so many things. I'm like a marketer's dream, actually. what am I obsessed with right now? I'm obsessed with the idea about eating what you want, mm-hmm. for sure. I don't know. Otherwise, I'm like obsessed with this oil company called Everyday Oil.
Ooh.
I keep it in my bag. I put it on my face. I put it on my elbows. I put it everywhere.
Cool.
It smells like Palo Santo and eucalyptus and like mint and all this stuff. And it's like a really big jar and it's affordable for the world of oils.
Huh.
And it just, it's like become my smell now. And every single person I run into is like, oh my God, what's that smell? And then I get to share it with everybody. So,
that's so
it's
cool.
Called Everyday Oil. I love that oil.
That's awesome. And I feel like oils are sometimes like hit
so
or miss.
Expensive.
Or so expensive.
And hit or miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's this one oil that I like got obsessed with, this rose oil for my face. And it's like, I don't know, $125 for 0.1 ounces.
It's like a single drop.
It's like high unsustainable. So I
yeah.
love that this is like an oil that's super delicious. It's really affordable. And I don't feel like I have to save up money to buy it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I love that.
Also, I'm obsessed with cheddar cheese, just always, never not.
Oh, yeah. Do you like sharp or like
it doesn't
sharp?
Matter. I love all of it. I'm from Texas. Like, throw that in between two tortillas, and I'm a happy girl.
Yeah. That's awesome. So where can people keep up with you, learn more, buy Early Bird, find Early Bird?
Well, I mean, you know, in the Northeast, like specifically New York, Brooklyn, it's really easy to find us.
Mm-hmm.
We're in, you know, Whole Foods and Fairway and Murray's Cheese and, like, all of the little, most of the little cheese shops and, like, the new, like, wave of organic bodegas usually have us. We sell online on our website, and we are fairly active on Instagram. I try to, like, post something every day and stay connected, and it's me. It's all me. But that's about all. I'm, like, I'm not really on Facebook or
yeah.
Twitter or anything, but I try to stay connected with people through Instagram and always go to our website. And then, you know, I don't know, you can go to our website and look at our store mapper, but we're around.
Yes.
We're around and we're happy to feed you delicious food without guilt.
Amazing.
Because what is life with guilt? Not life.
Exactly. Thank you so much for chatting.
It was
this
a pleasure.
Was awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wellful's Women in Wellness podcast. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode with a friend. Share a screenshot to your Instagram stories. Tell your roommate about it. That's how other people can learn about the podcast too. And we can continue to grow and share these stories with so many more people. As always, if you have any suggestions of someone who you'd like to hear their story or their mission on the podcast, feel free to email me or message me at The Wellful on Instagram. I'd love to hear about it and always love learning about new people to talk to and chat to. So thanks so much for listening, guys. I'll see you next time.